Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Each of us is unique with differing abilities and gifts, even though we are all human. And for those who have the Holy Spirit, even though we have the same Holy Spirit, we also have differing gifts of the Holy Spirit. When we need to do something and we feel our abilities and gifts are strongly aligned to what needs to be done, we tend to have confidence. And when we see gaps between those abilities and gifts and what needs to be done, we tend to lack confidence. Today, we're going to look at confidence as it is focused on God and Jesus Christ, and we will look at examples of confidence and how confidence works in our life. We will see some were boldly confident, while others had to be reminded to be confident. And we will start with the Apostle Paul, who in his younger days was so confident he felt empowered to persecute the church of God, to the point where he was called to the truth on the road to Damascus and became the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul knew how to defend his rights under Roman law, and found himself in Rome under house arrest, and yet able to receive visitors on a predetermined date. From the very early morning to late at night, people came and went, and Paul was able to teach them about the kingdom of God and showed them prophecies of Jesus out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. Not everyone who heard what Paul spoke of believed what they heard, because Paul quoted Isaiah, effectively telling them that not everyone would believe. He taught that salvation had come to the Gentiles, and that caused many questions among the Jews who fiercely debated what Paul had spoken. From time to time over the next 2 years, Paul was able to receive visitors at his house while under house arrest, and during this time, he continued preaching about the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. Even though Paul was under house arrest, he had confidence to preach about the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ because no person prevented him from preaching at his house. Acts 28, verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Going back in time to a time after Israel was split between the kingdoms of Israel and Judah, there came a time when Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came with his army, seizing control of the countryside and laying siege to the cities. Hezekiah knew that Sennacherib would have eyes on Jerusalem. Working with purpose and defiance, Hezekiah stopped the flow of water from fountains originating within the city so that these would not flow to the nearby countryside and be available to the Assyrians. City walls were repaired and made much higher, and both offensive and defensive weapons were produced and stockpiled. Hezekiah knew that war was coming. Seeing a concern and fear in the eyes of the people, Hezekiah told the people to be strong and courageous and to not be dismayed at the size of their army. Instead, they were told that God would be there to fight with them, and with that reminder, the people had confidence. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 1. After these things, and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without, and repaired Millo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Being told to be strong and courageous is a reminder to have confidence. When Moses was dying and it was time to pass leadership responsibilities to Joshua, Moses told Joshua to be strong and of a good courage, and to be strong and very courageous. He was then reminded that God would be with him wherever he went. Joshua 1, verse 6. "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Knowing that God is always with you should give extreme confidence to any individual. The lives of Paul, Hezekiah, and Joshua played out thousands of years ago. What about us today? What confidence should we have? In writing to the Philippians, Paul gives a very clear idea of the level of confidence we should have. Keep in mind, we live in a world of constant change, where the sanity and surety of today can be gone in an instant, where just when we think we know what to expect, everything changes. With people, change is constant, but with God, things remain constant. God does not change. Even Jesus Christ does not change. Paul told the Philippians to have confidence in this overall concept that God, who began a good work in each of us, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, verse 3. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Joshua was told to be strong and very courageous, that God would be with him wherever he went. Essentially, Paul is saying the same about us. How much confidence should we have that God will be with us wherever we go, knowing God will not leave us, and will remain faithful through the return of Jesus Christ? Having this incredible confidence that God will not abandon us should give us incredible confidence. We need to be circumspect, not to develop a false confidence that could lead us astray. We cannot deceive ourselves into believing that our confidence comes from ourselves instead of from God. Having confidence in God, we know that what we have comes from God through the mercy of God and not of ourselves. We know we are the called, chosen, and faithful. But that is because God called us and chose us first and will never leave us. Having other views could lead us to false confidence, the type of confidence where we think we know when in fact we do not know. Having false confidence leads a person to conclude what is in the Bible somehow doesn't apply to them. With false confidence, a person might know what is written in the Bible, but what is written in the Bible doesn't apply to them, and in the most extreme forms, somehow gives them license to ignore the very things God expects of us. This simply cannot be. Knowing that God will not leave us and is always with us should never lead us to ignore what God expects of us, but to compel us to a higher level of commitment to God. Romans 2, verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are most more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. As people, we tend to have the greatest confidence when we are doing what God expects of us. We keep the commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight, knowing that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness of sin, and that we love one another. It is only when we are not doing what God expects of us that we should be conflicted. But even then, if we recognize the error of our way and move from it, God is greater than our heart. 1 John 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. David, a man after God's own heart, was a man who had confidence in God, and wrote about this confidence in many of the Psalms. In Psalm 20, David knew that God would be there in the day of trouble to defend his people and to save his anointed. He then contrasted that confidence to people who trust in other people, explaining they will fall. But God's people will be risen and stand upright. Psalm 20, verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt offering, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. With confidence in God, David correctly knew he needed to fear no man, that God would be stronger than the worst enemy he would ever encounter. David knew that even if he were to be encircled by his enemies, through God, he would remain confident because God had consistently protected him. And that not only brought David confidence, it brought him joy. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host would encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after thee, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up upon mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. David's confidence in God led him to understand that it is through and by God we are saved, and never by the action of a person. He shared that the eye of God is on those who have awesome respect for him, but also hope in his mercy. To hope in mercy means we have confidence that God will be merciful to us, and that all stems from the basis of trust. We have confidence in whom we trust. We have confidence in God because we trust God, knowing that in the worst of times, God will save us, to keep us from death and to keep us alive when living is hard. Psalm 33, verse 16. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength, and horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Our confidence in God should never waver. As we fight sin in our life, we have confidence that God will purge these sins from us. When bad things happen to us, God responds to us through righteousness. And by this, no matter where we might find ourselves on earth, we have confidence, whether in an isolated location on land or in the middle of the ocean. Psalm 65, verse 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Sion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me, as for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things and righteousness will thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea. Those who lack a relationship with God and Jesus Christ can only rely on other people. And the big problem with that is people will never compare to God. Where we place our confidence makes a difference. Instead of having confidence in other people, it is better to trust God. Only God has the power to intervene and destroy our enemies. Other people can only use the resources available to them. But with God, nothing is impossible. Having confidence in God, trusting God, leads us to see that God is our strength, our source of joy, and our salvation. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations come past me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. When God is the source of our confidence, we gain the wisdom and discretion that comes from God. And this wisdom and discretion not only benefits us spiritually, but benefits the very life we have now. With God as the source of our confidence, we have no reason to fear. The world around us may be in turmoil, but with God, we have no reason to fear. Proverbs 3, verse 21. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Having no reason to fear may reflect that God is the source of our confidence. But that is verified when we also have awesome respect for God. It is through that awesome respect that we find refuge, that we find life, and that we escape the snares of death. Proverbs 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. We can have confidence today living in an uncertain world because we know that God will complete the work that he began in us through the return of Jesus Christ. How much more confidence will people have in the kingdom of God when the effect of righteousness is clear to all? How confident will people be when all they know is peace and quietness? Their confidence will never change. The weather might change and their location might change, but their confidence will remain. Isaiah 32, verse 16. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail, coming down in the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither thy feet of the ox and the ass. The prophet Jeremiah writes that it is a curse to trust in other people and to leave God. To some degree, we have to have some level of ability to work with other people. And that ability to work with other people involves elements of trust. But that trust in working with other people can never lead us to leave God. Jeremiah also shows that it is much better to trust God, to have confidence in God, because that will lead us to a place that is like the most tranquil place we've ever visited on earth. Trusting other people is like trusting deceit, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Micah writes that there are times when it is best to put no confidence in another person, not even a friend, and prophecy indicates those times are coming. This will be a time when family members will rise up against family, when your enemies will be your own family. Micah 7, verse 4. The best of them is as a briar, the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchmen and thy visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. It is the privilege we have to be the called, chosen, and faithful, who even in times, when described by Micah, can continue to have confidence in God. It is through faith that we have boldness in connecting with God through Jesus Christ, never using excuses to step back. When the challenges of our life increase, our confidence in God shouldn't weaken. It should grow stronger. Ephesians 3, verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he had purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Paul had a life that had its challenges and difficulties change during his life. There were times of plenty, and times of scarcity, times of prosperity and times without prosperity. Paul never lost his confidence in God and knew that in whatever situation of life he found himself, he could do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthened him. Philippians 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In giving direction to Timothy, a younger minister, Paul told him that we have to stir up the gift of God that is within us, the Holy Spirit, and that that spirit is not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That takes confidence. 2 Timothy 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We have confidence in God, knowing that if we ask anything according to his will, God will hear us, including when we petition God to forgive others who sin. 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Having this confidence in God is part of the faith that we have. And like any part of who we are and the faith that we have, we have to make sure we do not casually toss away the confidence that we have, because that confidence ends with a great reward, eternal life through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What we cannot do is draw back, to go back to the life we had before receiving the Holy Spirit, because we believe in moving forward to the kingdom of God and salvation, and never backwards. Hebrews 10, verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye become companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. It is through confidence in God we can boldly say that God is our helper, and that we will not fear what other people can do to us. It is that same confidence in God that focuses our attention to let brotherly love continue, to be hospitable, to remember those who lack freedom, and to keep the sanctity of marriage. We know that God will never leave or forsake us, and we know to live a life of contentment. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The confidence that we have in God the Father and Jesus Christ leads us to understand that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. The confidence that we have leads us to understand that if God is for us, nobody can really be against us. The confidence that we have leads us to understand that we will never be left or forsaken, that we will never be separated from the love of Jesus Christ. In fact, absolutely nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? With God before us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The confidence that we have is so intertwined with our faith. If we have faith, we have confidence. Confidence that God will protect us from those who seek to bring us harm. and confidence to overcome evil. Like the people of the Bible, we will look at challenges in the eye, and instead of being conquered by those challenges, through confidence, we will conquer those challenges and never be separated from the love of God through Jesus Christ. All through the faith and confidence that we have in God. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.